further and further behind. One shift, I was skating after a loose puck, and a member of the other team was skating after the loose puck, and we kind of met there at the same time, and we had this big collision. The guy just ran over me like a freight train. And I don't know if he did it on purpose or intentionally or not, but at the time, I thought that he did, and I took offense to that. It was a non-hit Christian hockey league. And my attitude kind of, you know, digressed after that part of the game in the second period. I got kind of frustrated because we were so far behind and kind of felt this guy kind of lined me up. And so I kind of turned a bit sour. And the rest of the game, I kind of played, well, I did. I played pretty chippy. And I took a few, you know, bad penalties. And at the end of the game, I was still pretty sour about the whole thing. I had a bad attitude. And I called the guy who ran over me a hack or something and kind of got in his face a bit as we were leaving the ice. And well, the next day was Sunday, and guess who I saw in church? You guessed it, none other than Brother Hack from the hockey game. And I didn't know the guy. I'd never seen him before. I've never seen him since. But, you know, I felt pretty awful about the person I became when I took on that bad attitude. And I'm pretty sure that every one of us here has been guilty of taking on a bad or negative attitude at some time. Maybe it's been at your work or at home or at school or even in the church or at a hockey game. Things didn't go your way, and so you took on a negative attitude. But you know, we can't point the finger and blame someone else. We're all responsible for our own attitudes. We may not be in control of the things that happen around us, but we can always be in control of our attitude. And a negative or bad attitude will almost always lead to poor judgment or regret. Attitude is a powerful determiner. In fact, much of our own well-being is a direct result of our attitude. In many ways, it determines really the quality of our life. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." In other words, a positive attitude will strengthen you, but a negative attitude can ruin you. People face all kinds of adversity in a lifetime. Some people will rise above adversity, while others seem to sink in despair. And a lot of times, the only difference between the two is attitude. There's a lot of good quotes about attitude, and if you go on the internet, you can Google it, and you can find hundreds of them. But let me share a few of them with you. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Life is a shipwreck, but we must not forget to sing in the lifeboats. Every day may not be good, but there's something good in every day. The only disability in life is a bad attitude. I don't think of all the misery, but of the beauty that still remains. Change your thoughts and you change your world. As I said, attitude is a powerful determiner. If you want to have a good life, you need to have a good attitude. So this morning, I just want to share with you three important things that are determined by our attitude. And the first one is this: our attitude determines our approach to life. It determines our approach to life. Do you know any Debbie Downers or any Doomsday Dans? People always seem to focus on the negative. You know, some people, they just want to focus on the negative, and you know, some people think the whole world stinks. That's their attitude. For example, there was once a grandpa, a cranky old grandpa, who laid down to take a nap. And to have a little fun, the grandson decided to spread a little Limburg cheese on grandpa's mustache right under his nose while he slept. Well, grandpa, when he finally woke up, he staggered out of the bedroom shouting, "This room stinks." And then he walked into the kitchen and he shouted, "This room stinks." And he went throughout the whole house and he said, "This whole house stinks." And then he charged out onto the porch and he said, "The whole world stinks." And the moral of the story is that if you think the whole world stinks, then maybe the problem is right under your nose. Maybe it's your attitude. It said that attitude is the eye of the soul. In other words, your attitude determines how you view life. If your attitude is negative, you'll see life negatively. If your attitude is positive, you'll see life positively. If you have a thankful attitude, you'll see the things that you encounter as gifts to be thankful for. Our approach to life is a direct result of an attitude that we choose. And that's why the Bible instructs us to rejoice daily in the goodness of God. Psalm 118:20, verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The psalmist understood something about attitude. He understood that rejoicing is a decision that we make. I may not be able to change the world, the whole things that I see around me, but I can change the way that I see the world within me. Since the world is the world that God has made, and this is the day that God has given us, I can choose to rejoice and be glad in it. You notice the psalmist, he doesn't say, "Well, I could rejoice once in a while," or "I could feel, or I could rejoice when I feel the need of it," or "I'll rejoice if I feel emotionally charged about it." Instead, he makes a choice and he says, "I'll rejoice and be glad in it." Now, the world will seem a little brighter to all of us if we face it with a whistle instead of with a whine. And that's why we all need to choose a positive outlook on life, because attitude is the eye of the soul. We could also say that attitude is the face of our life. Attitude is the face of our life. Proverbs 27:19 says, "As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person." In other words, your attitude reflects on who you are on the inside. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." What we think is vitally important. Chuck Swindoll wrote these wise words about attitude. He said, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts, is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearances, giftedness, or skill. It can make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we'll embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it." And so our attitude determines our approach to life. Secondly, our attitude determines our relationships. For example, there was a young man named John who received a parrot as a gift. The problem was the parrot really had a bad attitude, and he constantly insulted John and put him down. Every word that came out of the parrot's mouth was rude. John was not enjoying his new roommate, and he finally had enough. So he really didn't know how to train birds, and so he just yelled at the bird, but the bird just yelled right back at him. So John became exasperated, and all he could think to do was to discipline the parrot by giving it a timeout. But he really wanted the parrot to get the message, and so he gave it a timeout in the freezer. And after a few minutes of the parrot just squawking and kicking and screaming, there was suddenly a total quiet. And just, there's not a peep from the parrot for over a minute. And fearing that he had killed the bird, John opened up the door quickly to the freezer. And the parrot just calmly stepped out and onto John's outstretched arm and said, "John, I believe I may have offended you with my rude language, and I fully intend to do everything I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior." Well, John was just stunned with the change in the bird's attitude. "I just have one question," said the parrot. "Sure, what is it?" Looking back at the freezer, the parrot asked, "What did that chicken do wrong?" The moral of the story? If you want to thaw an icy relationship, then start with a positive attitude. Our attitude determines our relationships. A negative attitude will ruin relationships. A positive attitude will build them up. But relationships can be challenging at times because we know that they involve other people. And that's why Jesus taught us, do to others what you like them to do to you. We need to be reminded of that. And we need to remind ourselves often of that because some people don't make it easy for us. People can be funny sometimes. If you notice that people always want a place in the front of the bus, in the back of the church, and in the middle of the road. You ever notice that? It's true. People are strange. I mean, you can tell a man that there are 300 billion stars in the universe and he'll believe you. But tell him that bench has just been painted and he has to touch it just to make sure. That's just something about human nature. Sometimes people can frustrate us. If you ever notice that when you're driving, that all the people driving slower than you are idiots. and all the people driving faster than you are maniacs. Come on, admit it. You've done that. You're driving behind someone and you think, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he driving so slow? What an idiot. And then someone passes you and you think to yourself, that maniac's going to kill somebody. I hope the cops give that guy a ticket. And so we need to remind ourselves that our attitude determines our relationships, and that relationships are important. I love this quote from Roosevelt. He said, the most important single ingredient in the formula of success is knowing how to get along with people. Getting along with others begins by having a positive attitude. The Bible really has a lot to say about that. One place that we find that it says something about this is in Philippians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul lays out the proper Christian attitude towards relationships. Here he wrote, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. When Paul lays out the attributes of a Christian attitude, he points us to things like tender hearts, compassion, love, cooperation, unity, unselfishness, humility, and submission. Those are the attributes of a positive Christian attitude when it comes to relationships. And if we're going to live by those attributes, then we have to come to terms with the fact that other people are often different from us. They have different habits. They have different personalities. They have different mindsets. They have different backgrounds. They have different perspectives. And we often come from different cultures. Many of the churches that Paul ministered in were culturally diverse, and that's probably why he said, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Sometimes when people do things we don't understand, we can easily develop a negative attitude toward them. We can even begin to think that we're just a little bit better than they are because we do things the right way and they do things the wrong way. So Paul warns us, be humble, even if you're convinced that you're right. And take time to listen to others and try to understand their perspective. We rush to judgment too quickly and develop an attitude towards people who are different from us before we even get a chance to know them. So the question we need to continually ask ourselves is, do we value people as much as God values them? Christ valued them so much that he gave up his divine privileges so that he could walk among them. He loved them enough to die for them. And so what right do we have to treat others in a way that takes away their God-given dignity? What right do we have to take away their God-given dignity by treating them as though they were not as valuable as we are? We have to ask ourselves, do I serve myself or do I serve God? Paul says that Jesus humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. You know, sometimes we are so concerned about fairness. There's one thing that most people will fight for, it's for themselves, especially if they feel that they've been treated unfairly. But you know, we need to be careful because sometimes God calls us to carry a cross for someone else. Sometimes obeying God means putting others ahead of ourselves. Do that requires submission and sacrifice and a very, very positive attitude. And so we need to watch our attitude because our attitude determines our relationships. And thirdly this morning, our attitude determines our output. Often the only ingredient that separates those who succeed and those who fail is attitude. There's a story about two masons who are working on a building. One man continually frowned and groaned as he worked. Someone asked him what he was working on, and he said, "Oh, I'm just piling on one stone on top of the other all day long." But the other mason whistled while he worked. His movements were swift and sure, and his face would glow with satisfaction. And someone asked him, "How do you find so much satisfaction in making a stone wall?" And he replied, "I'm not just making a stone wall. I'm building a cathedral." Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus." And that doesn't just refer to the fun stuff, the stuff that we like to do. It means everything, even the mental tasks or the menial tasks that we prefer not to do. Could you imagine Mary saying to Jesus, "Son, could you go next door to the neighbors and borrow a cup of flour so I can make some bread?" And Jesus says, "Oh, tell James to do it. He doesn't do anything. Leave me alone. I'm busy doing miracles and hanging out with my friends." I don't think it went that way. I think when the Bible tells us to do everything as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that we need to do everything with a positive attitude, because our attitude determines our output. Often it's our attitude, not our aptitude, that determines our success in life. I found some more quotes. These ones about doing things with a positive attitude. Thought you might like some of these. "If you aren't fired up with enthusiasm, you'll be fired with enthusiasm." "There are no menial jobs, only menial attitudes." "Success is due less to ability than to zeal." And Galatians 6:7 says, "A man reaps what he sows." If we focus on the negative, we'll have a negative output. If we focus on the positive, we will produce positive results. That's why it's always better to focus on the potential. Better to focus on the potential, yes, and not the problem. If we always listen to complaints and criticism, then we wouldn't get anything done. Came across a catchy little poem by Edgar Guest called "It Couldn't Be Done." It goes like this. Somebody said, "It couldn't be done." But he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't. But he would be one that wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with the trace of a grin. On his face, if he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed, "Oh, you'll never do that. At least no one has done it." But he took off his coat and he took off his hat, and the first thing we knew, he'd begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubting or quit it, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle it in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that couldn't be done, and you'll do it. Isn't that a great poem? Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that couldn't be done, and you'll do it. Our attitude determines our output. Philippians 4:13 says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." The Apostle Paul wrote those words from a prison cell. He'd been in prison for preaching the gospel. But instead of taking on the attitude of self-pity, he took on and maintained a can-do attitude and wrote, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." What challenging circumstances are you facing this morning? Have you given up? Do you feel like quitting? Well, don't give up. Instead, turn to Christ for strength and take on the Apostle Paul's can-do attitude. Know that your attitude determines your output. Meaning a positive attitude definitely has its challenges. Just think of all the negative chatter that goes on in the mind every day and every hour. We're told that a person thinks about 6,000 thoughts a day. Isn't that amazing? Many of them are random thoughts, and many of them are quite negative. You know, if you were to take an hour or so and just make a hash mark for every unconstructive thought that comes to your mind, you might be surprised how quickly you run out of ink, because probably there's more than we think. And those repeated negative thoughts, they take the form of negative feelings towards ourselves and towards others. Fears and doubts and insecurities, jealousy, and other things. Those thoughts are not from God. And they are not healthy, and they're not helpful. Instead, Philippians 4:8 tells us, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. In other words, focus on the positives and maintain a positive attitude. So the challenge I want to leave with you today is to practice this verse, Philippians 4, verse 8. You don't have to be all that smart. You don't have to be all that talented. You don't even have to be all that spiritual. But if you focus on the positives, you will be wise. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us every reason to be optimistic in this life. We face many challenges, and we certainly know that there are difficult things that we face, and that we are no different, that we will face hardships, challenges, and disappointments. But Lord, thank you that we have every reason for hope and to be optimistic, because we know that our God is the Almighty Sovereign Lord. We know that you have good things in store for us and that you already blessed us with so much. I pray that as we come against difficulties, that you'd help us to lift our eyes above the challenges, to see the potential. Help us lift our eyes above the things that are discouraging and to see the wonders of your hand at work. Help us to have faith in those things, Lord God. Help us to have faith in you to believe the best. Lord, as we look forward to this day and the days ahead, I pray that we be empowered by your word, by your promises, and just with the knowledge of who you are, that we'd be able to walk with that, walk with you, just fellowshipping with you, with your spirit, and that we'd be empowered by your goodness, by your holiness, by all the attributes that you have that are so encouraging to us. Lord, we put our eyes on you, we put our eyes on Jesus, and we move forward. And give us the strength to do that and maintain a positive attitude. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.